Hello, this is Vlad, and you are listening to Olafil's Fantasy Podcast.
No. Okay, well, I don't care. I'm going to talk about that. Like, I don't care if you haven't seen it, because that is part of the fantasy extravaganza of this show. Jeff, all the feels fantasy. Welcome to our, podcast, right, Jeff? We have a girth of information to share with you and all. Thank you, loyal listeners, ATF executive producers, and co-favorite guests of the pod. Thank you for rating and subscribing and reviewing and sharing this pod. You know, interact with us on Twitter. We're getting some good. I mean, we had a spicy interaction on Twitter this weekend. We're getting grouped in with, like, I don't know, whatever it was, whatever I tweeted, whatever I told you, Jeff, getting grouped in with, like, the CBS Fantasy Twitter and the Fantasy Footballers Twitter, so keep it up. We love it, and hopefully listen to our advice, like that schmuck 2 weeks ago who wanted to bench Patrick Mahomes for Tom Brady.
Yikes.
Didn't turn out so well for that person. Why would you even ever do that? But on this show, this little 30-minute mini-pod, we're going to talk about NFL ramifications with, you know, my personal worst nightmare, Jeff, which we will get into. And I talked about at length before the season even started. Players that maybe we do or don't believe in after 3 weeks of, some would say, high quality football. Some would say football they would never want to watch, like tonight, Thursday night. And what I think, and I don't think this is a big claim, the best streaming option to watch right now on the interwebs, Jeff. But first, I have to ask you, how are you doing?
Loving it. Loving the interacts. Loving the new people we're bringing in. Lot to talk about, though, in this first little pod. We'll want to get right to the TV. Ted Lasso, I'm caught up.
Yes.
Season finale tomorrow. By this time, you know it. That'll be Friday, the 2nd of October. It's just been a class show. I mean, it's just a class
Happy October,
top to
by
bottom.
The way.
Yeah, oh
Happy
yeah. October. Craziness. We're in October. Happy birthday to Taco Bell as well. We have the day off today because they just decided. They're all priming.
I thought this is like a J-Bell. I thought this is a J-Bell reference. No. I was like, what is this? I'm so confused.
They gave us a day to just live Moss, you know. So that's what I'm doing today. I caught up on Ted Lasso, talking to you, my friend. So big day. Big day.
Still waiting on those Xbox codes. Ted Lasso, we've talked about this before. Like the feel good. I mean, I've seen the commercials. The feel good comedy of the season, I guess, and it's not summer. I definitely agree with that wholeheartedly. Very excited for this season finale. Everything's kind of all built up for, of course, for anyone who has or has not been watching, the big match with Man City. I mean, thank you for EPL for licensing your teams.
Yeah.
Big match against Man City and a former star of Ted Lasso's team. I mean, I'm pumped. And give me your thoughts on the season and the show.
No, well, I mean, it's been great. Like we talked about before, not laugh out loud, but you just smile throughout. You're just like, you love Jason Sudeikis, and the darts scene was awesome. And just kind of – they've done a good job of weaving – the serious with the silly. So I think that's been positive. And like you said, it's all leading up potential relegation in the offing, which I think is an interesting, deviation from your normal sports movie, which is like the championship game. It all comes down to this. And it's kind of like, no, this is just so he doesn't get fired and they don't get, relegated to the lower division. I don't know about you, Will. I probably could have done without a lot of the owner's husband or ex-husband, I guess, and all that kind of interplay. I don't know. It's just been kind of a bit over the top for me. But Ted Lasso, I give it a positive rating. We're pushing 8 out of 10 at least on my Apple TV ratings here.
Thing that's caught me off guard with the show, and I still don't know what's gonna happen in the season finale. I don't know the Ted Lasso love interest yet. Like, I'm still not, I still don't know what's going on. Is he gonna, you know what I'm saying, with the owner? I mean, it's just all kind of, I don't know. Like, there was a little teases with, like, side pieces here and there. Is he gonna try to get his wife, his ex-wife back? Is he just gonna be a free spirit? I'm still waiting for the crescendo at the end of this season. Some would say the English football cognoscenti. Would not allow the coach or manager to be with their owner. But more or less, that is tonight. Maybe even at midnight, my time. Maybe I'll even get a little early preview, send you a little texty-poo of midnight, my time, if it comes out. I don't really know the exact release information. But yes, Ted Lasso, great show. Apple TV, you know, one good thing out of 40. Not too bad. The Boys, have you caught up on The Boys?
No. After, you know, there's been a lot of text exchange saying, you know, you're down on it. So I have put that appropriately in the queue where, you know, I'm not pushing to watch it. But, you know, once I'm bored with other things that I'm not doing, then I may put it on. But it sounds like, has the downward spiral continued? Or how has it just plateaued? What are your thoughts, Will?
We will save that
okay
later. Fair enough. Because I want to move on to what I think is the greatest streaming show right now, and that is Cobra Kai. It was notoriously a YouTube original, you know, what, 3 years ago maybe, on that dying platform where YouTube's tried to do everything, gaming, streaming, whatever it is. But it has now migrated to Netflix, where the first two seasons are on Netflix, and I believe a season three is coming out soon. For those that don't know, including yourself, Jeffrey, Cobra Kai is the sequel, long-awaited 20 to 30-year sequel to the original Karate Kid movie with Ralph Macchio and the original Johnny Lawrence, all the original actors comprising their roles. No Mr. Miyagi, because he died like 10 years ago. Rest in peace, of course. Referenced a lot in this show. But it is a successor, and not spiritual. It is an actual sequel where they are now 30 years into the future, present time, and they are living their lives as one should. The Ralph Macchio's character is now a high-profile person in his city of Hollywood, or I think they're in, like, North Hollywood, where he is known as the karate car salesman, where he karate chops the competition and stuff like that, little ads like that. And Johnny Lawrence is now a guy who goes from job to job, alcoholic, doesn't have really enough money to pay rent, and has nothing going on with his life, where he constantly is reliving seeing Ralph Macchio on the, you know, billboards and everything, and the commercials saying how he won the All Valley championships 30 years ago with that crane kick and all that. This show, the first season, flew by. Like, I mean, it was unbelievable.
Oh, it's a TV and show.
It is. It's a show. Oh, excuse me. I see. I said two seasons, so they're making.
I know.
Season.
I was confused. I thought it was a movie.
Nope. And it is also 30 minutes each, so they fly by. And I think the big thing to really go into this is with an open mind. And if you ever part of that conspiracy theory group, who always thought that Daniel LaRusso, sorry, I keep calling him Ralph Macchio, that's just the actor. Daniel LaRusso is the character, was the actual bad guy and the actual bully in the original movie, that may play a part in this new series, where it kind of relives and you re-see the original movie through Johnny Lawrence's eyes, where he's kind of reliving all these bad memories and stuff, and he's kind of venting to other people about Daniel LaRusso's not that cool. He's the one who, you know, moved in on my girl when I was 16 in high school. So great, just bringing it all around, the conspiracy theories, the cameos of certain people in this show. Highly recommend it. My ultimate thing to watch on. I'm almost done with season 2 right now, so I've been streaming it for about a week now, just blazing through it. So Cobra Kai, you got to give it a watch. I'm telling you right now.
Okay. I will give it a go. I will say, the ultimate seal. And I don't know how big you were into the original Karate Kid. I mean, I've obviously seen it more than once, but I wouldn't consider myself a fan. You know, I got the general through lines of what you were talking about in your description. Do you think that plays a role, or is that kind of, you have to have a baseline understanding, I feel like. But after that, do they do a good enough job of kind of creating the moments now and playing off that nostalgia?
I mean, is the main thing you're asking, do you need to know about the movie to know the show? Is that like the main thing you're talking about?
Yeah, do you need like intimate details? Do I need to go rewatch the original to now enjoy it?
Okay. No, not at all. Okay. And they do a great, this is the beauty of Netflix and just streaming in general, they do a great job of interweaving the old footage into this new show. See, I'm already saying too much. So you do not need to watch, as long as you know the very general gist of it, of Daniel LaRusso became a Karate Kid and took down the bullies, supposedly, of Cobra Kai. Cobra Kai, of course, is the name of the dojo that was kind of the bullies and the strong kids and all that stuff. So as long as you have that, which I've already told you, you're in. So give it a watch, everyone who listens, if you have not already. Great binge time for Cobra Kai.
Love it. We'll give it an absolute go here. Let's leave the streaming at there, Will. I don't think my other ones are up to the Cobra Kai level. I mean, you're almost through two seasons. I'm just finding out now that it's a TV show and not a movie. I mean, my mind is absolutely blown. Let's talk about things that blew up, Will. You know, a preseason prediction that blew up in your face, blew up in the NFL's face, blew up in fantasy owners' faces.
Mark Sessler's face.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. It was looking so strong. Like, I feel like first 3 weeks, COVID was nary a distant memory. You know, the procedures and the protocols seemed to be working. But for some, they felt like it was only a matter of time. The Steelers-Titans game, I believe it's some people in the Titans facility. It wasn't even players, right? Have they identified and come out with that information?
They have announced that there are 5 players
who
have now tested positive, and it's like 6 personnel.
Okay. So that makes sense. So I guess now they're, you know, moving the game to week 8. They're taking their bye week this week. This is a long time for teams to be playing without a bye. You know, there's fantasy implications on both teams. There's a lot of options. I mean, Jonnu Smith, come back to us. You know, I mean, fantasy darling early on in the season out. Mm-hmm. We have Derrick Henry in our best ball league. I think I have Big Ben, one other. I think I have him in Raf pool, but I got a lot of quarterbacks on that team, so I can cope. How are you feeling about the situation, Will? You know, I hope that this is a wake-up call for the rest of the league to be like, okay, yes, this COVID's still out there. Let's still be careful. We want to get paid. We don't want to ruin the season, other teams. So get it together. Let's figure it out. Fantasy, though, Will, how are you coping?
So this was my biggest fear. And we can replay old podcasts if I wanted to and cut up some moments where I said, I don't even want to play fantasy this year. I said the same thing about baseball. It's going to be too weird. It's going to be risky. What happens if you have a star player who has to be forced to sit out? And right now, you kind of mentioned it, hopefully it makes everyone in the NFL more careful. We already heard, there's already rumors of the Vegas Raiders getting in trouble for their lack of precautions. I mean, they are in Vegas as well. So who knows what's going down in that town with all these precautions and possibilities of COVID spreading. So if this is just a blip in the radar and a bump in the road, then I think it's okay. But teams only get so many bye weeks. You can't just force 2, 3, 4 bye weeks on teams, move a bunch of schedules. I think that's the only good thing about there not being fans is they don't have to worry about people having to get refunds on their tickets, move their hotels, if they, you know, bought a whole weekend to go to a game. That's the benefit of that. But having these games being impacted, and I wrote in the notes here, so now the Steelers-Titans are going to have week 8, or sorry, they're going to week 8, the Steelers are supposed to play the Ravens in Week 8, but because the Ravens had a bye in Week 7, they're going to move that game to Week 7, and the Ravens will have their bye in Week 8. So that's just one thing that already sounds confusing as hell. And who knows about whatever the Titans are doing, and who they were supposed to play originally in Week 8 or whatever. It just makes it really confusing. And you mentioned the best ball team. That's the one team that really doesn't matter, because it's not like Derrick Henry's losing any games. And you can say that about any fantasy player right now, as Derrick Henry's not losing any games or losing any eligibility, but it's forcing the fantasy players and the gamblers to kind of make rash decisions and last-minute decisions for something they weren't prepared for. And I have Big Ben and James Conner in one league, a league that I'm 2-1 in, a league that I've texted that group. I'm like, hey, I'm finally making a run because I've been so bad in that league forever. And it's like I jinxed myself. I said, well, I thought I was coming out on top, and I just had to be smited by COVID. And now that's forcing me to play, you know, Sony Michel in that league. And that's not something I was really prepared for. Like, not ideal, Jeff. Not ideal. No. And I think the last thing, and this is getting out of the fantasy portion, is, and you kind of touched on it, is now these teams, the Steelers and the Titans, they don't get a bye anymore from week 5 to week 17. So they have to play 13 straight games, while the Titans apparently get a little bit of a benefit because A.J. Brown hasn't been healthy yet really this year. He gets his early bye now, and he'll be fine next week to play. And think about the teams that are going to get their byes in like week 11, week 10, week 9. To kind of get healthy and get right, and the Steelers and Titans are going to be. And imagine if they play in the playoffs. They might not have a week off until the Super Bowl. If they were to make it this far, they could play 17 straight weeks, which is just, that's a lot for these two teams. Yeah, so nightmares coming true, and if this just is one bump, then I think the fantasy world will survive, the gamblers will survive, but I don't know how much more this could, the NFL could take if another game had to be moved around, postponed, or canceled, or anything like that.
Yeah. I think it's an interesting test from the perspective of it's a meaningful NFL game, but it's still early in the season, so there's not huge implications yet. You would think both these teams look to be playoff contenders or playoff teams. With fantasy implications, I mean,
they're both 3-0.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like, you know, Broncos Jets is getting rescheduled, yeah. Which I think we could all do without.
Yeah, seriously.
But I think it gets a little spicy if this trend continues. You get, you know, a game here, a game there, until you get like a premier. Like if Monday Night Football this past Monday, I mean, regardless of how the game turned out, if you get a big name billing like that to be rescheduled, I think then it becomes a very spicy. But yeah, this is not great for fantasy. You know, it's a bye week you weren't prepared for. But ultimately, hopefully, it's a wake up call to the rest of the league and a good test of the protocols. But like I said, if you're the Jets, if you're the Broncos, feel free. You know, go wild, get out there, do your thing.
Do whatever you gotta do. I mean, the Jets probably wish they get COVID canceled at this point.
Yeah, I know.
Then that means the fans will be like, oh, that's why. That's why they're so bad. Jeff, I got a lot of players here that I've kind of done a little bit of digging on with. A lot of them I kind of wrote about last week, and really I only changed one of them, which is no longer here. Maybe you don't even know who it was before. I kind of did a couple wide receivers, couple quarterbacks, maybe even a team in here. Players or teams that you may believe in after 3 weeks, or you're not sold on, maybe you're selling high on. These are players that I am believing in and or just get the hell off my team or out of my life until you show me something different, or I'm just not buying the hype. So my first one, Stephon Diggs. I believe he was pretty controversial with going to Buffalo. I don't mean controversial, meaning like, ooh, he's such a shady character. I mean, people weren't buying it. Josh Allen was very inaccurate his first 2 years in the season. And now it's year three, and he's leading the league in yards and passer rating and touchdowns, and or at least the AFC in those categories. And Diggs has had a touchdown in two of the three games, I believe. He's been that guy who has been Josh Allen's go-to guy at the end of the game, especially in that Rams game. He got a really big third down catch. He had a great touchdown against Jalen Ramsey. Right now, he's the number four wide receiver in a 0.5 PPR setting. Are you believing in Stephon Diggs? Because I am. They've had a bit of a cakewalk schedule, at least the first two games. It was Dolphins and Jets. But he showed up against the Rams, and that is a contender in the NFC with the aforementioned Jalen Ramsey. So what are you thinking about Stephon Diggs? We are Diggs dudes.
Oh, we are total Diggs dudes. I think this is validation for Diggs dudes all over the world. I think, you know, you can look at, you know, his performances. We knew he was a stud. We knew he was there in the big moments, make the big catches. I mean, Josh Allen is going over, what was the stat? I feel like he'd gone over 400 yards in the past two or three games, and that had only been done by, you know, some other Joe Schmoes who are, you know, big timers. So you feel like Diggs and the whole Bills offense, I think everyone came into this season expecting the Bills defense to be kind of the anchor, but the offense has been holding it down, driving the ball, scoring points. Josh Allen has been running. You know, the passing, he has a couple. You know, there's always going to be mistakes. There's always going to be a couple errant balls, but he's been definitely improved. I wouldn't say, you know, he's a top quarterback from a passing perspective still, but leading that team, and Diggs has been a huge part of that. You know, John Brown, I think he got a little bit nicked up with him healthy. Cole Beasley getting in the mix. Devin Singletary catching passes. That whole offense seems to have taken the next step. And look no further than the Vikings offense, which has been just an absolute steaming garbage heap without Diggs. You know, Thielen and Dalvin Cook not being able to shoulder the load. Kirk Cousins hasn't been great. So it's hard to say how much of that is Diggs, but it doesn't help. I believe in Diggs. I think, you know, as a Diggs dude, I'm legally required to. So all in on Diggs. This next one that you have, Will.
I was gonna say Justin Jefferson trying his best to
Represent. Maybe he'll come on.
But yes, move on to the next one. Sorry for that awkward pregnant pause.
No worries. This is an interesting one. I want to get your take. I have my thoughts. DK Metcalf, number 5.5 PPR. Russ is cooking. Danger Russ is out there. You know, positive language all over the field. The passes, the big plays have been there. The opportunities have been there. The offense has been playing well. Is it sustainable, though, Will? That's my question. I feel like with Diggs, he's just one of the most talented receivers in the league. I think DK is not quite at a Diggs level yet. Do I think he's going to finish in the top 10? I'll throw it to you, Will. I don't think so.
So I was thinking, to put DK Metcalf in here, I think was easy. And then I did have another group of players that ended up taking out. They're not in here anyway. I was going to say I was out on the Cowboys wide receivers as a whole because it's so spread out that it's hard to pick just one. All three of them are in the top 25. It's like Gallup, Cooper, and Lamb are all like 22, 24, and 26 around there in the 0.5 PPR. So I wanted to put them in there, and then I thought, well, is that kind of being a hypocrite with Metcalf? Because it's Metcalf, Tyler Lockett, I don't know who else they've been throwing to, but Russell Wilson's been throwing it to everybody in that offense as well. But I think with Metcalf, he also should have had another touchdown. I think we forgot it. It doesn't show up in the box score, but he fumbled a touchdown because he celebrated before he crossed the line. I think this offense is just cooking, as people are saying, let Russ cook, that there's no signs of slowing down, and they just won't stop taking those deep shots. I think watching them this past week, where it was, or it might have been 2 weeks ago, where they were constantly in the third and shorts, and they could have just ran it to waste time. Yeah, this was 2 weeks ago. But instead, against the Patriots. But instead, they just kept taking shots. They're just like, we're going to keep going. We don't care. We're in this to win it now. And that's different. And I think I said this in our group chat. like a week ago. If you would have told me before the fantasy season started that frickin' the Seahawks were going to throw a million times a game, then yes, I would have taken DK Metcalf or Russell Wilson. But they've been so run on first down, run on second down, pass on third down for the past 17 years that I didn't know they were going to change. So because they're changing offense, because of the spread of wealth they have with the great talent with Tyler Lockett and Chris Carson, of course, being hurt now, I think that might even promote Metcalf a little higher. I just don't see this offense ever stopping. They've just been so good these first 3 weeks, and that's why I have Metcalf as someone I'm believing in, and I wish I took him in fantasy. What a keeper, by the way, in the ship.
Yeah, someone that we both thought could be spicy. I think we'll leave the DK Metcalf where it's at. I think they're going to need to continue being otherworldly to support two top 10 wide receivers. I think some other names are going to come up and have some big games to even things out. I like DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett. I view them more as high-end wide receiver twos, so we'll see how that shakes out. I'm happy to be wrong. I like DK. I don't own him in any league, so best of luck to him. Someone I do own in a league or two, Cameron Newton. Put up and showed up in a big way. Right now, he is a top 10 quarterback, which we knew his upside. I don't have the data right in front of me. He's got to be top 5 in terms of goal-to-go situations, just getting the ball, running. You know, the downfield passing maybe isn't there, but, you know, the short and intermediate routes, he looks pretty accurate. I think they've had a fairly easy schedule. They have a solid defense on the other side of the ball. I think I'm in on Cam Newton as a top 10 quarterback. I don't know if he'll get to that top 3, if he's going to push, you know, the Pat Mahomes and the Josh Allens of the world right now. But, I mean, he's going to hold his own, and I'm definitely in on Cam Newton.
Well, the reason I like Cam Newton is he's the number 7 quarterback right now, and they've played some good teams. They played the Seahawks. The Raiders, you can call them good. At least they stopped Drew Brees really well. Not that Drew Brees is maybe the same talent-wise as Cam Newton at this point in his career. But their schedule for the Patriots, like, I don't understand. They're playing the NFC West this year. So everyone thought that was going to be like, oh, wow, the AFC East, the NFC West, they're going to have so much trouble this year. But it's just, I'm looking at this schedule, and they still get to play the Jets and Dolphins all the time. They're playing the Broncos in week 5. After this week, they play the Chiefs. Playing the Broncos in week 5. They get their bye in week 6. And then if you were to play them in the fantasy playoffs, the Patriots, they play the Rams, the Dolphins, the Bills. That's the fantasy playoffs right there. All three of those teams, the Rams, Dolphins, and Bills, 12th, 4th, and 9th in allowing points to quarterbacks. So that's why I'm kind of buying Cam Newton. And they didn't really have a running game this past week. They had Rex Burkhead score, 7 touchdowns, I think. Rex Burkhead scored against the Raiders, and he didn't have to do much. And he still had a 1 touchdown. He still got he got 11 points. But in his previous 2 games, 26 and 35 points. And that's with him playing in his first couple games with the Patriots. So I love Cam Newton. I'm happy to trade for him in one of our leagues. We'll get to that in a different pod. But Cam Newton, you love him. I love him. It's a shame the Patriots got him for free.
Yeah. Good going, rest of the NFL. Yeah. Let's talk about some players that were out on. This is one of your boys. I believe you have him in the ship. Maybe I'll hesitate to call him one of your boys, given his recent performance. The marriage between T.Y. Hilton and Phillip Rivers hasn't necessarily flourished into the beautiful connection that maybe we thought it could be. We thought T.Y. was a talented receiver. I'm scrolling to find him in the half-point PPR wide receiver rankings.
Oh, it was so far down. I didn't want to count.
I'm still going.
Really far.
I'm going to find him. I'm still going. I'm in the 60s now. 71 So not great. The likes of Dontrell Inman and T. Higgins are above him, so not great, but, you know, I did
pass. T. Higgins scored all those points on Sunday, by the way. So
he did, and he got picked up in the league. So, yeah, I mean, it hasn't – I feel like the Colts came into the season with a lot of hype. I haven't heard a ton mm-hmm. about them. Now they're going up against the undefeated quarterback change Bears this week. So you would think a game that they could – challenge in. TY just hasn't been there. I don't know why. I mean, has it been they haven't needed the big plays as much? Is it a Phillip Rivers limitation? You know, you have to believe he's at least a top 30 wide receiver at the end of the year, but he's got to have some games here, and maybe he's just a boomer bust guy. Maybe he'll have a 2-touchdown game here or there that will mm-hmm. win you a week, but are you going to know to start him? I feel like that was his story last year as well. So I get it. You're looking for other options depending on your team, depending on the week. T.Y. Hilton, you're out on him. What are you going to do, though?
I mean, he had 9 targets the first week, 5 targets the second week, 3 targets.
Not a good trend.
Now, week 3, they were destroying the Jets last week, so I understand that one. But in week 2, he dropped a 44-yard touchdown in the end zone right off his chest. He also, in that very first week, the game they lost to the the game they lost to the Jaguars, he dropped 2 sideline passes. So are they on the right page? Are they on the same page, him and Rivers? I don't know. But you kind of mentioned it. He is going to do something, but he's not going to be started. There's no way any owner of him, barring injuries or bye weeks, is finally going to have him in for that week where he goes off. Now, if we want to talk about a best ball guy, maybe this is someone we should have went after because that way we don't have any to worry about starting him. I'm not dropping him yet. I have tried to flirt him with some trades. I mean, by the way, people, come back to me with rejecting trades. Don't just leave him in limbo. Jesus. Trying to get someone
rude. You know,
some low-hanging fruit. Yeah, serious. Twinkies, come back to me. T.Y. Hilton, not dropping him yet, but I'm obviously just not going to start him. Even over Odell Beckham, who hasn't done much either, I just don't have that much confidence in T.Y. Jeff, the offseason darlings.
Oh, yes. The rankings.
Some would say.
The offensive rankings.
The best offensive team of our generation, 5 years in a row. The always going to win the NFC East, Philadelphia Eagles.
Ugh.
I'm just out on their offense entirely. Miles Sanders, Dallas Goedert got hurt, which might be looking good for maybe Zach Ertz, so you might have a bone to pick with that one. Their receivers are awful. Wentz is awful. Offensive line is awful. The coaching, I mean, getting ripped to shreds. Genius Doug Peterson 2 years ago, now he's a bum apparently, likes to play for a tie. There was 19 seconds left. They're at the 40-yard line. They punted. Or it was like the 44-yard line. They punted. Why not at least just try a Hail Mary? And if you don't get it, then the other team tries a Hail Mary. It's a battle of Hail Marys. I mean, that would have been the exact opposite of what happened. Very exciting. I don't trust this Eagles team. They get to feast on the rest of the NFC least, which is fine. But, of course, they're so bad. The fake fans are booing. So yeah. The Eagles, I'm glad not that any of us ever invested anything in, except for the Zach Ertz. We were down on Miles Sanders. We were never high on any of these random receivers. So I assume you share the same sentiment.
Well, I hate the Eagles. So, yes, I'm always out on them. True. But as a Zach Ertz owner, I am forced to watch and at least hope that they can move the ball down the field. I think DeSean Jackson is a little nicked up. I think, you mentioned Goddard. I think Alshon Jeffrey is coming back. But Zach Ertz doesn't even have a profile picture in Yahoo Fantasy. So I think Yahoo's out on the Eagles as well.
I don't know what's going on with that. There's a lot of people who don't. Something's going on. I think Yahoo Fantasy got COVID.
Uh-oh.
Mark Ingram doesn't have a profile picture. Tom Brady doesn't have a profile picture right now. So I don't know what's going on.
Not good. Save it for the
Fantasy App podcast.
This last one, I think we can live in agreement. The Lazard King. Currently number 7. I think this is a function of no Davante Adams. I mean, sell him while you got him, folks, because as soon as Davante comes back, he's going to be getting all those targets again if he's healthy. You know, Rodgers had that explosion in week one, came down a little bit. Lazard, you know, there was the Aaron Jones game. Maybe it's just every week it's someone's going to have a game and you don't know who it is until Davante comes back. I'm out on the Lazard King. Sell him if you can.
Yeah, sell him while you can. Let's get to this last one then, because this is someone you have a lot of shares in, I believe, or at least one big one.
Yep.
And that's Matthew Stafford. It was the let's wait on a quarterback year, regrettably, when I knew I should have grabbed Rodgers whenever I could. But we all waited, every league. Matthew Stafford, right now he is the 19th quarterback in fantasy. Now, does that mean he's terrible? No, because quarterbacks get a lot of points. But still being number 19, like if you're in a 12-team league, that's you better have someone else you're playing, which right now you don't. But Matthew Stafford, he had some easy games to start off with, but he just got Galladay back, who immediately got a touchdown. Do you have faith in Stafford to kind of finish the year as a top 12 quarterback?
I do, Will. You know, I think the other thing about quarterbacks, like you said, he's trending in the right direction. Galladay is coming back. They get the Saints, who Derek Carr just shredded. So, you know, you like that. The thing I don't mind about Matt Stafford, and yeah, you could probably stream quarterback and make it happen. I mean, the difference between, you know, Jared Goff, Matt Ryan, who's number 8 currently, and Matt Stafford is 4 points per game on average. So that's not going to kill you on a week-to-week basis. But then again, you know, there's a lot of options. So the Stafford thing I'm not out on yet. I think, you know, better days ahead with Galladay coming back. I think Galladay will also unlock Marvin Jones a little bit more. I think the Hawkinson has been really good. So if they can, I guess it's the story every year, figure out who their running back is. I mean, Adrian Peterson getting like 20 touches last week and DeAndre Swift getting like one, I think. So come back to us with that. You know, I wouldn't say there's easier days ahead. They got the Saints. You know, they, I'm looking at the rest of them, and the Falcons, you know, you can throw against. They got the Jags, they got the Colts, they got the Panthers and Vikings. So, you know, I think there are better games ahead for Matt Stafford. So I'm not out yet. I do see what you're saying. I'm keeping my ear to the ground. I'm seeing what quarterbacks are out there. I'm seeing, you know, who gets dropped, who gets picked up. Do I get a little Minshew mania coming here and there? But, yeah, I'm not out yet. Matty Stafford, come back to me, my son.
Well, it's called the Matty Ice.
I know, it was close.
Matt,
it was close.
That's your boy. You love the Mats. Yeah, remains to be seen. Matthew Stafford, this time next week, could be talking about him, how the Lions are 2-2, and they're primed to make a run to the playoffs after this week against the Saints, where they are like, God, they're like 7-point underdogs, which is absolutely crazy. I mean, take that all the way. Take the points for the Lions, even if it's a garbage point touchdown at the end, to kind of save that spread. Jeff, this was some fantasy analysis that we had, and of course, mainly the Cobra Kai analysis, which again,
deep dive.
Can't stress enough, you need to watch. We will get into other leagues and all that in another pod, but for this one, we say adieu, and we'll talk to you guys for our next league-centric pod. Thanks for tuning in. Peace.
Peace out.